following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Golic here. Have any home painting projects you want to tackle? Well, now at Lowe's, you can get $5 off 1 gallon and $20 off 5 gallon cans of Valspar and Olympic Paint and Primer in one via rebate. And while you're there, why not pick up 2 20-pound bags of Kings for Charcoal for just $9.99, a saving of $7.99. Stop into Lowe's and take advantage of these and other great summer offers today. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through September 3rd while supplies last. See store for details.
Now Geo Wild has a pet. His name is Dr. Poe.
And he's a pet you won't forget. He's in it heart and soul. Treating cats and dogs, cows and hogs, sheep and horses, lizards, frogs. If you love pets, you'll love this pet. The Incredible Dr. Poe.
An all-new season of The Incredible Dr. Poe premieres Saturday, August 25th at 10 on Nat Geo Wild.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
We ask for a chance is fair.
We ask for a chance is fair.
Chance to equal our strife.
Chance to do
it there.
Chance to do it there.
He's got the touchdown! It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger!
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the cold.
Let it be by the cold.
Faith and honor held high.
Faith and honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Oh, man, woman, and child, I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football game.
Get there.
The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is.
Get there.
On its way. The kick is. Good!
Can you hate it?
No, we got to go out there and smash people. Put them on their ass, you know. Smash mouth football. That's the way we play. That's the way we've been taught.
The clock shows a minute and 55 seconds. 2 shots to go 2 yards. Jeff Kinney in the top of the eye. The quarterback calls his count at the line of scrimmage, taking a long count. Here he gives to Kinney. Kinney over the left side, touchdown! 74 yards on that drive, and Nebraska forges into the lead, 34-31. Oh man, woman, and child! I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football game.
Turns, hands it off to Burkhead right up the middle. Drives, he's in. Nebraska, Rex Burkhead, rams in there for 6 points.
And the bottom line for Nebraska is this. It always has been and it always will be about winning championships. Anything less is frankly unacceptable.
The snap to Tommy and the give on the trap play. And it's Schlesinger inside the five. In there for the touchdown. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger. It is history. 13-0. And bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Quarterback keeper for Martinez up the middle. He's got a first down. There he goes. 40, 50, 40, 30. Nobody's going to catch Taylor Martinez. An 80-yard scamper. His third rushing touchdown of the day.
If we go out there and play 60 minutes of the hardest football we know how, they're going to lay down.
Bell lost the ball. And the Cornhuskers scoop it up, and it's Rude. Touchdown. Here's a reverse. Now back to the quarterback. Enderle gets hit, brought down. Jared Crick sniffed that play out and sacks Enderle all the way back at the 11-yard line.
In offense, baby, you just do what you do best. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, runs the ball like you guys do.
There's the handoff to Roy Hill. He's got the midfield. Roy bursting through. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Third rushing touchdown of the day.
Rozier turns, he's running back around the field, he's trying to get away, he's looking for blockers, he turns upfield, he's going to run a touchdown!
We're Nebraska, baby.
26 seconds left, quarterback Tanner, back to pass, he looks into the end zone, fade pattern, purify, near side, leaps, he catches it, touchdown Nebraska!
Here's Wiley's kick, gets high, it holds up there, Rogers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's in the 45, he's in the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home! Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle! Johnny the Jet Rogers just tore him loose from their shoe!
Grant Mahoney to try to tie it up. Snap, and they're going to fake it. They throw it out in the flat. It's intercepted by Nebraska, and the Huskers have won. Eric Haig knocked it away.
Jets survived in overtime in Ames.
And an option to the right, Tommy on the keep, turns the corner, 25-30. Eludes a tackle, 35. Tommy Frazier, 37, 38, 39, 40. 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
The Doug and Danny Show on Friday, the 24th of August, and we're glad to have you along with us here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda along with my co-host today, Jim Langan, who already got to work last night. He was down on the opening night of the high school football season at Lincoln East and Fremont, and I'm going to get his thoughts on just getting the season underway. We'll go over some of the rule changes since a lot of the guys, we talked about it the last time Jimmy was in, but we'll do it again because, let's face it, a couple of weeks ago fans weren't ready for football, but they are now.
Yeah, well, I worked Lincoln East last night, and Fremont was 48-12. Weather was nice, you know. It wasn't really hot, but it was both teams play hard, very competitive game, and kind of worked it without much controversy.
Is that different than usual?
Yeah.
I thought all the games you worked had little controversy.
You know, when they're 48-12, they're usually not a lot of controversy.
Well, East, that was the only Class A game last night, too, which is unusual.
Yeah, I think that was right. I think Gretna play last night and got beat pretty good by Scud, I think.
So yeah, that was probably actually, you know, every night there's an eye-opener, and that was an eye-opener. I know Bob Jensen had that picked as a two-point game from Huskerland Prep and was fired up when we had him on the show Wednesday because Gretna kind of got deflated last year in the playoffs, and Scut goes out and rolls them. Boys Town, uh-oh. What does Bob have Boys Town ranked? He's got them ranked 7th in C1. I think they immediately move up to, like, number 2. Because last night they played Lincoln Christian and just absolutely rolled them, 61-27. That's after Christian started with a good drive, it looked like, and got on the board first, and Boys Town just pummeled them. So Boys Town moves from B to C1. Pius, who's coming to Kearney tonight, moves from B to A, and those are always tough both sides. So when you go down, you seem to have more of an advantage. Kearney Catholic's moving up to C1. I don't think there's as much of a difference, though, when you're moving C1, C2, and D1, D2. In fact, sometimes you actually may get an easier district.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes if you're loaded, you'd be loaded with the D2 teams, about three or four of them that are really good in one district, you know. But it seems that this year it looks to me like some of the teams that moved up and down, maybe they can avoid one another. The one that, there's, of course, Adams Central going down and Kearney Catholic, you know, in C1, you know, that looks like one right there. You've got a team that played in C2 and a team that played in Class B, and now they're going to meet, so.
That's an amazing. Well, they're kind of hoping they meet if they get into the playoffs. So
I'm predicting they're going to meet sometime.
Well, if they stay healthy, they definitely got a chance. We've got a couple of coaches out there that right out of the gate. Carl Tesmer's going for 300. Randy Hubert's going to be going for 200. He just needs two wins. Carl needs one. Tonight, that is the game. Aurora and McCook. That is going to be one heck of a ball game. We had Coach Hubert on yesterday's program. If you ever miss any of our interviews or miss a show, it's always right up there about 15 minutes after the end of the program on our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. So are the Kearney Little League games from the Little League World Series. Brad Wegner going to join us today to kind of wrap it all up. They returned home yesterday. A big thanks to all the folks that came out to the Vero Event Center and to all the folks that just lined the route when the kids came into town, kind of came out of their businesses because you couldn't close up shop before 5 or 5:30 and came out and supported all the signs and all the folks that showed up, Mayor Klaus and the gang, and the great job by the Vero Event Center to once again step up and sponsor an event. And what a run. 23 days they were gone, and now they're getting back to, I mean, some of those, what I was told yesterday is some of the kids are going back to school today, and then there was some of them that weren't, so I'm wondering if that changed a little bit once they figured out that not all of them were going to miss one more day, but now they have to get acclimated to being back home, and as Coach Wegner said yesterday at the homecoming, sleeping in their own room, they don't have four other guys in there giggling and laughing all night and keeping them up.
Yeah, amazing. If you think about that, 23 days, you know, I wouldn't want to be gone for 23 days. You know, I mean, and there you're at that age, you know, in 23 days, that's amazing. You know, luckily, you know, parents are there and a lot of the friends they know. That'd be tough if you were just by yourself or with two other guys, you know, for 23 days.
But what an experience.
Yeah.
What an experience. And we'll talk more about that, a little bit of baseball, but more about that. Tervell Dolognev is scheduled to join us, the U.S. Olympian as well, the Loper Wrestling Booster Banquet. I should quit using the word banquet because there's not a meal. It is their Booster Club benefit tonight and tomorrow at the World Theater. You can knock a whole bunch of birds out with one stone here. If you haven't been to the newly renovated World Theater, there's one reason to go. If you love UNK athletics, there's another reason to go. Tervell Dolognev, U.S. Olympian, another reason to go. And up-and-coming comedian Greg Warren is going to be there, and there's another reason to go. Live auction tomorrow, and Martin Segovia will be inducted into the UNK Hall of Fame. There will be a UNK wrestling video from their national championship this last season. Coach Bauer says it's about 12 to 15 minutes long. They'll show that, and then the comedian Greg Warren will perform tomorrow. They will have Martin Segovia and the handful of live auction items. That'll be the only difference between the two nights. So if you get a chance, tickets are available at the door. Go to lopers.com for more information. That'll be going on. And in the second half of the show today, Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay. He's back from vacation. He's like the sports writers who only have that little window that they can take off before Husker season begins. Well, Mike Perenio is back. We're going to talk a little NFL and college football. If you've got a question for any of these folks, or especially like for Mike, if you've got a team that you want to know something about or his thoughts about or who's overvalued, who's undervalued, email the program, Facebook the program. Of course, the Dent Popper inbox is Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Yeah, when Mike's here, it'd be interesting to see where Nebraska's at, and you know, if they're 9, 9.5, you know, for wins for the year and et cetera, and some of the other teams, and see if who he likes. I'm kind of interested in that.
That Nebraska line, I had some friends that were out there. I think they saw it at 8.5.
8.5.
Okay. Or 9.5. No, 8.5, I believe, is the number. And there's Adam Rittenberg is the blogger for sure. ESPN for Big Ten. And he's been doing the best case and worst case scenario. And I need to pull up Indiana to see what in the world the worst case scenario could be. But Nebraska, he has the worst case scenario, 5-7, starting off by being upset by Southern Miss and then getting beat at UCLA and then losing all those Big Ten games at Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and being five. At best case scenario, he has them going 11-1 and winning the Big Ten championship game and playing out that way. And God, I would never want to see that worst case scenario. That would have to require a rash of injuries. But I think that is the best case scenario: 11-1, beating Wisconsin twice.
Yeah, if Nebraska goes 11-1, that'd be just amazing. You know, I know with the running game, with the Huskers' running game, we're counting on that. You know, and if we can find a way to, you know, complete some short passes or get some second down and threes and throw it deep, you know, and take advantage of that. But, you know, defensively, when we seemed to play the really good teams last year, we did struggle a little bit. You know, we gave up quite a few points to Wisconsin, actually gave up quite a few points to Ohio State and won the game. And, you know, at halftime, when that last play of the very first half in that bowl game, you know, where did that snowball then? Yeah.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time out there. And 1 week from tomorrow, the Huskers get things underway. Thursday is when UNK gets things underway. They are putting together a fan bus. So, folks, if you want to go down and back to Topeka, Kansas, everybody's telling me, I've been there, I never pay attention. It's like a five-hour trip. So if you want to go down, maybe 4.5, depending on how fast the bus driver. Depends if Jerry Stein's driving. But it just depends who's driving the bus. $35 adults, UNK students, if you want to get on, it's $18. It's your round trip and includes the game ticket. You take care of everything else, but can't have any better deal than that. And if you want more information or want to get signed up, contact the UNK Athletic Department. Stop by the office. Give them a buzz at 865-8514, 865-8514. And as with everything, folks, if you're going to go, let them know. Tuesday's the deadline, but you don't want to have 10 people and then all of a sudden the bus doesn't go, or you don't want to have it fill up and you're left standing on the outside or riding in the luggage compartment. So that's a tough ride down there at Topeka. Let's turn our attention now to the Kearney Little Leaguers. And Brad Wagner has been very gracious with his time throughout this whole process, I guess is what we can call it. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, co-hosted with me today on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Brad, how was it to feel? How was it to sleep at home last night and be back in Kearney?
Oh, it was nice to sleep in an adult-sized bed, and also nice to have hot water and water pressure at the shower. So can't complain about that. But it is it's back to reality, and it'll be interesting to hear what the kids had to say about that going back to school.
I didn't ask you a whole lot, and I didn't ask the kids a whole lot about how cool it was yesterday. But again, for the fans that weren't able to be out there, just talk about the ride into Kearney? Once you finally got into Omaha, you're down the interstate, you've made that trip, but once the kids finally saw the city limits and then you had the parade route, what was that like?
Oh, it was great. You know, we hit right out there about Baldwin. The police joined us and turned on the sirens, and the kids all jumped out of their seats and were bouncing back and forth from one side to the other, depending where all the fans were at. And it was just great to see Kearney. You know, I knew they were supporting us, and then just to see it in person like that, the kids thought that was unbelievable. They just kept saying, "Wow, look at that." You know, throwing out names of the people standing along the side and all the different businesses. You know, they were looking at the marquees and the signs that were up, and they were thrilled. You know, it was just another thing to add to the experience, and it was one of their highlights. I know that.
Brad Wegner is chatting with us here. There were so many highlights. It's going to take a lot of time to digest all of this. You've went over a few of those from the non on the field items. What were some of the other things, whether it was in Indianapolis or Williamsport, that were really neat that the kids did when they weren't playing baseball?
Well, it was just the atmosphere when you walked around. You know, we'd have the kids could be identified because they had a certain type of hat on. We were the only ones that got the fitted style of baseball hats with the Midwest. You could buy the other kind, and then we all had lanyards on that identified who we were. You know, you just walk through the crowd and people would, you know, come up to you and say, "Hey, we've been watching you, and this is so cool that you guys are from Nebraska." And just the constant, you know, the attention that people gave you, and you know, people from all over the place. And one of the cool things that happened was after we got beat that first game, I sat in the stands and was watching Mexico play, I think the Caribbean, and a guy comes walking up to me, and he's got a Jersey accent, and he introduces himself and says, "I'm from Kearney, New Jersey, and we've been following you guys since Indianapolis. Since we have the same name, we all drove over to watch you guys play in that first game and really enjoyed watching you." You know, and here we had just gotten shellacked, and here this guy, you know, was nice enough to come up and say, "We followed you guys. We came over for 50 miles and spent some time of his day just to follow us." I mean, that, for me, that hit home how just people just love the whole idea of it. It's not whether you play really well or you win. It's just this, it's like Disneyland. I can't think of how to describe the feeling there. It's just everybody is so happy, so glad to see you. You know, obviously we're glad to be there, but it's just the way people are nice to you at all times. It was like a dreamland.
As far as on the field, Brad, were you surprised by anything? The thing that's sticking in my mind is that Tennessee team, who's playing for the United States Championship tomorrow, that was a very competitive 3-0 game. Say what you want, you guys probably didn't hit the ball like you wanted, and who knows if you could have got the three runs to tie them up. But, I mean, it wasn't like you got the doors blown off until the last inning, and obviously there was some carryover effect the next day or the next game with some walks and some miscues there. But that first-time feeling may have had some nerves in there, but your kids played, I thought, the first time really, really strong against a team that's still in it.
Yeah, you know, that's what we looked at. Is in the fifth inning, we got two outs, we're only down 3-0, and then the wheels came off. And the wheels came off not because of really what we did, it's because of what they did. They just started hitting the ball where we weren't. I mean, one of the home runs was a mistake. The pitch was up a little bit. But other than that, a kid hit a ball in the inside half of the plate down low. He got to it, you know. And that's what we looked at. Even the second game, you know, we didn't commit a bunch of errors. Pitching-wise, that's what it comes down to at the Little League. I mean, the teams that are up there all have two or three pitchers that throw, you know, low to upper to mid-70s and have stuff to go with it. And that's what it takes. And that's not what got us there. We have kids throwing 60 to 65, trying to throw inside, outside, up and down, and some off-speed stuff and just make you hit it to us. And we've been playing great defense. We played great defense the whole time we were there and getting there. And it just, that's the thing. You just can't, you know, you watch those games and those kids make a swing and that ball goes out of the park. And sometimes I scratch my head going, that doesn't seem like a home run swing. You know, it's amazing how strong the kids are. And I honestly think they should be playing on 250 fences instead of 225, you know, with as big as these kids are and as strong. And some of them have such great technique too, but there are some swings that look great. But that's the way Little League is. Every time you come into this, into Indy, or whether it's Indy or even Williamsport, the people at Williamsport, some of the guys that have been around say, "Well, you know, you're gonna have to live on your hitting, because if your pitching is not shut down type pitching, it's going to be tough." And that's what we ran into. You know, our hitting just didn't get it done.
Yeah, Brad, that's right. This is Jim Lang in here, and hey, Brad, you're exactly right. And for years, that's been true in that Little League World Series. There, you get one pitcher and just absolutely dominates the game. It's kind of like women's softball was like that when it first started. When it first started in the 1970s and 80s, you know, you'd have a lot of those 0-0 games, and it'd be in the 11th inning. You know what I mean? And no one is even getting to second base. So, yeah, right. You're exactly right. That's what did happen. But, hey, we're really proud of you and proud of what happened. And that's exactly what happened in that first game. You know, that you're the, if you're the, you know, if you're the home team, visiting team, if they're the home team, that game ends up 5-0, you know. But they got to bat a bunch in the six, you know. So, and, and by then, you know, you don't want to lose a pitch, and you lose some, you know, some pitch counts. So you're right.
Right, right. And the pitch counts really enter into that, too. And that's one thing that's changed over the last, I think, 3 years is it used to be a team could get through it with one great pitcher. But now with the pitch count situation, they do need at least two. And three, you know, in case one kid blows up. And that's what you see with Tennessee is they've got, you know, they got one really good pitcher and then two that are exceptional. And then, you know, you look at California's got a couple kids that throw, you know, amazing locations. They're never outside the what I call the two-strike zone. You know, they're always around the plate. And you look at Japan, and that's just ridiculous. If you watch that game, I mean, they've got two kids throwing over 80 miles an hour, a third kid that throws upper 70s with just the nastiest slider you've ever seen. It's, you know, I don't know how anybody's going to touch Japan. It'll be an amazing game if somebody can get that upset.
Yeah, there's people who are just trying to hit a foul ball. You know, I mean, if they can just hit anything into the right foul ball, that's a good at bat.
The first six guys trying to bunt against him.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't want to stick my nose in there. Holy cow.
We got just a minute here left with Brad Wegner. I thought that was that camp was both Indianapolis and Williamsport. I thought those kids were supposed to be kind of confined, but, you know, sounds like some of the guys made a lot of friends and they weren't all just boys. Might have had some ladies around there. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Wow. it was, you know, it was Little League groupies to some degree. You know, the girls were all over the place, and when the kids walked out, they saw that they're ball players. They'd go up and just talk to them. And that was, you know, it's a neat thing. We're all laughing about it. And the boys handled themselves as gentlemen. I can vouch for that. But it's, yeah, they were definitely rock stars. I'm wondering what they're feeling like now back in school and the next few days when that celebrity wears off. I said, well, remember, guys, celebrity is a fleeting thing, and it will go away. So enjoy every second of it for the next week or so.
Yeah, but talk about the great memories. You know, I'll tell you what, that'll be something, you know, for the rest of your life, you'll be able to say, hey, I played in that game. And, you know, now I wonder how many people are going to be watching themselves again. You know, they're 60 years old checking, hey, watch this. Yep. I was 12 years old. See this?
There I was. I feel sorry for the teachers today trying to get them into class.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I'll tell you, the game that was amazing that you didn't get to see was the Uganda game. You know, it wasn't televised, and played a friendship match with them. And that thing just, I've been sitting here today, and it pops in my head just moments in that game, you know, thinking about playing kids from Central Africa, a country that was just torn apart, you know, by its leaders and the corruption in the government. And here these kids are playing Little League against us. I mean, I can't get my head around that even now. What that was like. It's hard to explain. There were just so many moments when, you know, we'd hit a ball really hard and the kid at third base made a great play, a line drive, you know, and you're just like, wow, these kids have only been playing for a few years and they're doing things like that. It was a special deal.
Brad, tell me how you got that game going. Did you initiate that game, that friendship game?
They do that. They have two time slots on the Wednesday and Thursdays of this last week, and so you just go in there and say, I want to play this team. They go check with them. They say, yes, we want to do that. Umpires show up. They get umpires from the Little Leagues around the area. They don't use the World Series umpires.
Sure.
And then they have a scorekeeper and an announcer, and they do everything pretty much the TV, and you play a full game. And
cool.
It's you want to win, but in that one, we were just wanting to have some fun with them. They were cool kids.
Well, I'm glad you did that. And you know, talk about a learning experience there. You know, we're always working in education on multicultural things. And, boy, I'll talk about being able to do it firsthand. You know, that was a great experience. And for you, too. And like I said, you know, you get around those kids that long, they all kind of turn into your sons. You know what I mean? For 23 days. So they're going to have some great relationships with you and the rest of the coaching staff.
Yeah, I could only be lucky enough to have them all be my sons. fans. They were good kids.
Hey, you know, Brad, I've been listening. Have you told anybody on the air who the assistant coaches were?
Yeah.
So you've already done that yet?
No.
But if you haven't, go ahead and would you give them some credit, too, if you would at this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been more than remiss on that. Yeah, it's Monty Dakin and Todd Hergis were my assistant coaches. Monty was my first base coach, and Todd was my bench coach and did the scorebook and pretty much kept me in line the whole time as far as substitutions and pitch counts, too. So they both did a great job, and I couldn't ask for better help from them just handling all this. It really wasn't me doing all of it. It was us, all
sure.
three of us, dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, and they were awesome.
We could talk long enough to fill up a book, and I know this will be the topic every time you're around until after Christmas, so or maybe longer, we hope. But, Brad, I'll give you the floor kind of like I did yesterday. I won't ask you a question. I'll just say if you've got a closing comment here because we've got a chance to talk and hash this baby over from before going to Indianapolis to winning the regional and becoming the first Nebraska team to go to Little League World Series and then chatting with you after the games in Williamsport. The floor is yours for, I guess, any comments you want to say about the team or about the support or about the Little League organization, because I know now everybody's eyes are open and they're going to want to try and get back there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, the town of Kearney and the state and all that, you know, thank you for everything that you guys have given us as far as the emotional and financial support. And just, you know, the next team coming up next year and the years after that should be their goal is to get to regionals and then win it and get on and have their own experience. And, yeah, you know, I can't explain it all, obviously, in the short amount of time we have, but it was a magical thing. And not just I'm not talking about for me, I'm talking about for the kids. They get it, and yet they don't get it. But over the next decade, you know, as they grow into men, they're going to realize what the experience was. And I told them all, take this and use your experience to go do whatever you do and whatever field you do in life, to take this experience and use it to make yourself that great. You know, make yourself the greatest at whatever it is, a doctor, lawyer, whatever you're doing, and take this experience and the pressure of it and realize you can handle anything. And that's the other thing, is there was a tremendous amount of pressure, you know, when you're there in front of 15 to 20,000 people and millions at home, and the kids handled it, and I was in awe of that just in and of itself. There's so many things like that, guys. Like you said, I could talk forever, but thank you to everybody out there for all the support, and we're glad to be home, no doubt about that.
Well, you can follow them everywhere, folks, KearneyLittleLeague.org. I believe there's going to be one more get-together. They're planning it, so keep an eye on that, and we'll let you know when that does take place. Brad, again, thanks for all the time you've given us on the Doug and Daddy Show and all the time you and the coaches and all the parents put into making the city of Kearney proud and Nebraska proud. So enjoy, hopefully, a little rest this weekend.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Jim.
You bet. Bye, Brad.
Take care. Brad Wagner joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, co-hosting with me today. And it'll be definitely be something that'll be talked about forever. Even if what would be great is if Kearney became one of those teams like the Robbins, Georgia, that gets there numerous times and maybe becomes a little league dynasty. You'll always remember, obviously, the first time that you went through it, because everything, the whole experience, is new. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, don't forget, Big Daddy's Deli is back because our pick'em start next Friday, and every week somebody's going to get a big old combo meal, and you don't even have to wait to win that. Go anytime. They're open 7 days a week in Hastings at 801 West 2nd Street and 610 East South Street, or in Kearney, top of the hill at 3905 North 2nd Avenue. Great place to run in and grab some lunch, or before you head out to the ball game tonight, fill up the cooler, fill up the van. Big Daddy's Deli is going to take care of you. Home of a bazillion sandwiches. Pick up a menu today. Like them on Facebook, and they will take care of you. Mouth is watering already. Just thinking about it. Big Daddy's Deli. Got to get up there this weekend. Have a good one from Big Daddy's Deli, and we're looking forward to having them back with us on Pigskin Pick'em next week. Tervell DeLognev is going to be joining us, and also Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. He's probably bummed UFC 151 called off yesterday. We'll talk about that and more coming up.
Sending money to a college student with Western Union feels. Winning $10,000, now that feels. Be automatically entered for a chance to win $10,000 when you send money across town or within the U.S. for as little as $5 from participating agent locations or WesternUnion.com. Western Union, moving money for better.
No purchase necessary. Subject to official rules at westernunion.com/scholarsweeps. Excludes transfers to inmate commissary accounts. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 10-7-2012.
Now through Labor Day, come into the Home Depot and get 10% off any appliance priced at $397 or more. That's 10% off trusted brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So you can spend your extra day baking, braising, washing, spinning, drying, or just cooling off. Labor Day means more time for doing and 10% less spending on great appliance brands. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The high school football season kicks off Friday night, and we've got you covered right here and on the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Here on ESPN Radio, the Kearney Bearcats take on Lincoln Pius X, pregame at 6:30. On 12:30 a.m. KHAS, Hastings is at Seward, pregame at 6. On The Breeze, 94.5 FM, Pleasanton at Kennesaw, pregame at 7. And on Classic Hits, 98.9, Overton will host Stapleton McPherson County with pregame at 6:30. The high school football season kicks off Friday.
Want high school football score updates every Friday direct to your mobile? Text Platte River Preps to 90210 today and be ready for the start of the season. The Platte River Preps Scoreboard Show debuts August 24 after the football on Classic Hits 98.9.
For today, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky with a chance of some scattered showers and storms. Southeast winds at 10 to 20, highs in the low 80s. Tonight, a chance of storms, mostly cloudy, with our lows falling into the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jim Lyon, my co-host today, Mike Perenio of the Mandalay Bay, and U.S. Olympian Trevelda Lognev set to join us here in the second half of the program. Right now, though, on this Friday, it's time for our T&L Husker Recruiting Report, brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, with T&L, the choice is simple. T&L system providing a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. TLIRR.com or see your local TNL irrigation dealer today. Not a whole lot to talk about on the recruiting front. As the games get going, there'll be special visitors, obviously, but Sean Callahan reporting yesterday on Husker Online that Auburn transfer Jonathan Rose was cleared by the NCAA, which means he can now practice with Nebraska, even though he'll have to set out. He'll be a big addition for next year. Rose's father, telling Sean Callahan that he was supposed to fly into Lincoln last night. And so that is the very latest. Bo Pelini did not address the media after practice yesterday. It was John Papuchis and Tim Beck, and they couldn't confirm or deny where Rose was and what was going on. So that's the very latest when it comes to what's going on with the Huskers and bringing in some new kids. Find out how easy the choice is with T&L by contacting your nearest T&L dealer or by going online at TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems are proven technology that works. 2:30 is the kickoff next Saturday. The Huskers on ABC and ESPN2. And they started to put in the game plan yesterday. And you can tell that always kind of flips the mindset. You're practicing against each other. You're learning what you're supposed to do. Then all of a sudden the coaches come out and go, all right, scout team, let's play a little football. Let's actually get up against these guys and practice. Jimmy, when you're coaching, is it day one you're already starting to look at the schedule and maybe not telling the kids, but you're running some stuff you know you're going to have to? Or is it really just a week out that you say, all right, we got Pleasanton this week or we got Elm Creek this week. Let's start going against what they do.
You know, I think every coach probably does a little different. I've heard an old cliche, you know, we play them one at a time. But, you know, sometimes in high school football, if you kind of understand what type of team you have, maybe what you're expected to do, and you try to get prepared for maybe two or three teams on your schedule, you know, that you think you can compete with. Now, some years you don't have that luxury. Sometimes you're going to struggle. But if you coach long enough, you're going to have a team that maybe not going to win. Then you got to find those three teams that also are going to struggle, and those are the people. So you don't want to show something, some trick play or some, you know, screen pass or something like that in a game where you think you might get beat or win fairly easy. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think last year when I look back at our team, we had a game against Litchfield when both of us made the playoffs, and we had to get right after them. Yeah. So we spent 3 weeks getting ready for one game, and that was our first game. You know, so I think it's better if that's what you're trying to do. If the first opponent you have, but like I say, the old cliche, you're playing one at a time. In college athletics, on any given day, though, anybody can beat anybody. There's enough offensive skills where somebody can knock somebody off. I mean, Iowa State beat Nebraska that one year when we fumbled the ball. Nine times, I believe, and lost seven. Remember that
Northwestern clip this last week.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some, that can. And I, what was it, Ball State or somebody came in, it was 44-43. And I think Southern Mississippi came into Lincoln one year after we went down there and beat them fairly easy, and they gave us all we wanted some and then won the game.
The defense won the football game for us. I think there was two defensive touchdowns. Nebraska won like 21-14 or 24-14 or something like that. And that was when the Huskers still, they had not built everything in North Stadium, so they'd still come out towards the South fans, and the North fans applaud the visitors. But, I mean, that's the first time I ever remember the South Stadium just going nuts because the defense kind of came off and was celebrating, and the South Stadium just going nuts recognizing the defense. I mean, usually if your quarterback, Taylor Martinez, or Rex Burkhead, or Roy Helu, or, Todd Peterson, a Swift, Nate Swift comes running off. They always get the accolades. The big burly guys don't usually do that, but that was pretty cool. The Doug and Daddy Show rolls on here, where all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK, Burger King, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. And back and refreshed off vacation and ready to attack another football season, just like everybody else, is the director of the Race and Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. We're pleased to welcome Mike Perenio back on the show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan co-hosting today. Mike, how you doing? How is vacay?
It was great. I spent a little time in Southern Cal, and I'm back ready for the football season.
We are just so jacked up for it here. And Lincoln Southeast coming off the Class A state championship last year. They're ranked number one back here. What are the odds that they repeat?
I don't put out odds on high school, especially when I played at. So I'll pass on that one. I don't want to get in trouble for that.
Well, yeah, for the folks that don't know, we probably haven't talked a whole lot about that since the first few times Mike's been on the show. But a Nebraska boy played at Southeast, Solich years, and continues to follow the Big Red. One question, I guess I didn't even look. Mike, did Vegas have any kind of odds up, and in which sports during the Olympics?
No. Yeah, that's one of the Nevada regulations. We don't take bets on that type of amateur athletics. So, I mean, some places that are notorious put up lines for stuff they don't actually take, and then people come to town thinking they can bet the Oscars and Survivor, which was taped like 6 months ago, and everybody, there's quite a few people know who won. But those types of things, when you see them in the newspaper, generally they're information only, no actual odds are on it, and on the Olympics, definitely no wagering on that, although they do allow it in Europe.
Yeah, this is Jim Langan. Hey, I went to Mandalay Bay I've been there a few times. The last time I was there, you took care of me pretty good. You saw me bet the races, horse races for quite a while, and then you came over and gave me a couple of boxing tickets, so I really appreciate that. I had a good time there.
Yeah, it's fun to be here, and we take care of our horse race players, so any of the Fawner Park and Nebraska horse players can come out here, earn comps, and take care of their stays, if you play enough, anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say this, that on the Olympics there were some events, like, I mean, what would the odds be like for Bolt to win the 200 or the 100? I mean, that's gonna be a heck of a 1-9 is as low as it can go in the horse races. But
yeah, we probably would have put a prop up on whether he'd be over under like the world record. At least then you'd have some chance of odds that you could at least play without. Doesn't make sense to bet 12 to win a dollar.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, there's hardly ever any bad news at Mandalay Bay, and this wasn't any of your doing, but you guys were gearing up for UFC 151, and they had to cancel the card yesterday. Talk about the wrench that throws in preparations out there.
Well, luckily it's the first week of college football, and there's a big convention week here too, so it won't affect us a great deal. It's always tough to lose a fight like that. But that happens in UFC all the time. Those guys in that kind of sport, they're prone to injuries. They fight so often that they can't have really more than one headliner fight at a time. And if that guy goes, then they have to cancel it. Because they tried to get a replacement, and Jones really didn't want to fight the guy he wasn't preparing for. And, I can't blame him on that. It's tough to lose it, but once football starts, we have a full crowd no matter what.
Football. Well, before, let's get this out there, too. What else is coming up at the Mandalay Bay for folks that could be coming out anytime during the football season?
Well, you guys have been out here. The best thing about being at Mandalay Bay is it's you don't ever have to leave. I mean, we've got concerts. House of Blues has Carlos Santana as a regular all throughout the year. That's a great show at the House of Blues. And the beach concerts this time of year, it's cooling off, and you can go out to the beach and listen to a concert out in the sand and the surf. And I know it's hard to believe when you talk about a hotel in Las Vegas, we've got surf and sand. But the beach is great out here. And then, you know, you'd never have to leave. I mean, if I wasn't careful, I'd probably weigh 500 pounds because we've got all the best restaurants in one location. So you eat, you dine, entertainment. Start of next year, we're going to have a new Cirque du Soleil show with featuring Michael Jackson, which will probably make us the number one show in Vegas for a long time to come.
Sweet. I'll admit it, I'm a Michael Jackson fan. I'll catch that. We got Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we dive into football, because I know we'll have plenty of questions about football, this is the time of the year where we find that St. Louis Cardinals to bring us home in baseball, and I know that's a little pin in your side because you guys didn't want to see them finish last year because their odds were pretty far up there about this far out. Give us your insight. Who looks good, and who might the Mike Perenio pick be right now?
Well, yeah, hopefully we won't have that kind of scenario this year. But you know what? That's sometimes stuff like that happens. You know, the year the Green Bay won the Super Bowl, I got them at 28-1 the last week of the season. So stuff can happen that doesn't normally happen. Usually when something like that happens, we're still making money because we've adjusted the odds because we need action on that. But that was a little high. Your 500-1s this time of year are the Rockies and the Cubs. And to win the pennants in the World Series, Milwaukee, Minnesota, actually Colorado and Chicago are almost 1,000-1 in the world. We're in the World Series. Pretty sure we're not going to lose any of those bets. So there's really not as many bargains as you probably would see. Pittsburgh Pirates are still 18-1. They haven't done a complete fade yet. And then the American League is always so tight for the wild card right now. I mean, there's so many teams within striking distance. And it's really that way in the NL, too, with the Oakland A's showing, the Giants and the Dodgers battling it out, although the Dodgers have hit a bad streak right now. But I could see a pretty good battle. Oakland A's are 18-1. They have a shot. They'll adjust odds again here. Maybe a team like Boston that everybody bets doesn't have as much value as some of these new teams that you don't expect.
Hey, you know, I noticed the Rays gained since about July 10th, somewhere in there. You know, they were like 11 games back. And, you know, their pitching has been just tremendous. In fact, the two games they lost 1-0, and I think they won like 9 out of 11 or something like that. Do you think they're a good play right now or not?
Yeah, it's just that we've adjusted them down to less than 10-1 now. So, you know, and it's tough to be in that that division and to even win the pennant in there, you got to probably go through some pretty good teams. And, you know, if they were 20-1, it might still be a good value. Under 10-1, you know, I'd rather take the Giants at 8-1 in the National League. But you just don't know. It's definitely pitching is how you win these things. The Yankees, of course, can win it just because they have so many home run hitters. But you can see when it gets to the playoffs and World Series, sometimes bats don't always respond the way they do during the regular season when there's not as much pressure.
Correct. You know, the Angels had some nice starting pitching, but they've really kind of struggled lately with that. What are they right now, the Angels? I know they're 4.5 back in the wild card, but would they be somebody you'd look at a price?
Yeah, they're 10-1. So, you know, there's this time of year, you don't get a lot of value on teams that everybody bets. And being in Vegas, any team on the West Coast, we get more action than we normally would. You know, the values on the West Coast teams, they're not as bad as people bet the Cubs, which is amazing to me. But the Cubs, they're always getting bet no matter what. Although not now when they can't win, you can get a good price on them. But that's not really the point. But we open the Cubs small every year because there's people that just bet it, trying to think this is the year. But Maybe someday.
I just wonder if the Vegas books are just like the guys around. Hey, I'm going to Vegas. Hey, put 50 on the Cubs for me. Okay, it's right in my right pocket. I got that for you. Don't worry about it. I'll give you a handwritten receipt. I like last baseball one here. Since you're mentioning those West Coast teams, I guess as I'm just kind of scanning here, teams that are back and looking at some of the odds, Diamondbacks, they're not completely out of it. They're only six games back. That's kind of a Cardinal-esque thing from last year. Are they at a price?
Yeah, it's not Cardinal-esque price. They're 30-1 right now. So, after last year in Nevada, I don't think you're going to see them stretching out baseball like they did last year. I think last year was kind of a fluke, what the Cardinals did last year doesn't happen but probably once every 20, 25 years. And the year after it happens, you're probably not going to get value again for, 5-6 years when people start to forget about that.
Well, and folks, remember, when we're talking to Mike, we're talking about value. Yeah, New England might be the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and LSU, Alabama, USC might be the favorites to win the national championship. But, the folks that are into wagering, they don't need the explanation, and the folks that aren't don't need the explanation because they're not going to worry about it anyway. If you got a team that's 2-1 in 3 months, they might still be 2-1 or even money. So it's good to hold on to your money. Let's talk a little football, Mike. Colin Cowherd on ESPN is about the only guy that really gets in to the lines and makes picks, and Van Pelt does a little bit. But Cowherd says, you know what, I think Vegas, at least in college, was really on this year. He goes, I can always find four or five that stick out to me. I'm sure everybody can. Boise State was the only one that he came with. He said, I think they can hit the overs. Obviously, Husker fans want to know what you think about Nebraska at 8.5. And I guess the third part of that question would be, what's the perennial pick of the year?
Yeah, with the over-unders, it's always tough. Nebraska's 8.5. It's pretty much been flat. No action on it either way, up or down. You got USC and Alabama and LSU all at 10.5, Oregon and Oklahoma 10.5. If you're talking over-unders, I've had a pretty good feel for UNLV, our local team here, although I'm a big, huge supporter and hope they turn it around. But their over-unders 3.5. Don't think they can win maybe even two games. And they're trying to improve it. They've got the right people in place. But from a betting standpoint, I like the under 3.5. I think 3 would be a very, very good year for them this year, and under 3.5 would be my over-under play. And in the NFL, it's pretty flat. There's not a big, big favorite. We've got kind of like three co-favorites in there right now. Everyone's hot steam team is the Eagles. They're 6-1. Green Bay is 6-1. And then the 49ers, believe it or not, are 6-1. The favorite is New England, but it's 5.5-1. So you can throw that in with the 6-1 groups. It's pretty well spread out, and that's the way the NFL is right now. There's a lot of parity, and you never know who's going to pull it out. One of the West Coast teams that's has a shot, I think, with their quarterback coming back this year is the Raiders. It was 100-1 to open. It's going to be tough to find them at like 30 or 40-1 would be the best you can find them now. But I think they've got a chance. The Eagles look strong, but Vic seems to have a problem with injuries, and you just can't count on him being healthy all year. So that makes it tough. We've got a lot of action on the Bears. They've gone from 25-1 down to 15-2. That's a little too short a price now, but if you could have got them at 25-1, that would have been a good price. Falcons at 18-1. I think if I was playing right now, I'd probably do the Raiders and the Falcons and see what happens, see if I can catch something towards the end of the year with a team that needs to win, get on a hot streak, and get some good odds before the playoffs start.
Yeah, how about Iowa University? I looked at their schedule, and they look like they were going to be able to start off and have some success early. And sometimes if you do that, going to practice for the first 5-6 weeks is a lot of fun when you're undefeated, and you maybe will turn around and get that program going. And their schedule, home and away, doesn't look too bad. What are they? What's their over-under on Iowa University?
Iowa, I'm trying to think of. Yeah, that's Iowa State. I'm not sure we have a line on Iowa. I don't think we put one up on Iowa. We only put up certain teams on on the over-unders here. And Iowa's not one that we put up on there. We got Iowa State, but not Iowa.
Okay.
And, of course, all the Penn State stuff's off in the Big Ten. They're no longer on the board.
and why? Let's just ask this. Why are some teams up and some teams not? Is it just simply an interest or a how good the team is, or you just don't know?
I mean, we try to take the top teams. It definitely is interest. We don't get a lot of interest on Iowa. We've got so many other, you know, Big Ten teams on. It's just a strategy we use that's been successful, and we always have Nebraska lines because I would have to boycott if we didn't. But there's just certain teams, and a lot of it, you know, because we'll have like Hawaii on and UNLV's conference because they're the home team here. But other than that, we stick with the, you know, major schools.
Right. Doug just found it online. He found Iowa at 7.5, so we'll have to play it maybe someplace else.
Yeah, those people that we don't like paying attention to, I'll tell you that. Mike,
those are the ones that don't pay if you win, though.
That's exactly correct.
You're right.
And they won't take care of your lunch either. That's right.
And just so you know, for Nevada Gaming, that was sarcasm. I was just joking that everybody pays in Nevada.
They pay at the Bay, people. They pay at the Bay. Mike, we'll let you go. We've had you on the show for numerous times, and we're looking to have you on throughout the season. And I know you took care of Big Daddy and the boys out there, and you always take care of the Nebraska fans when they come out there. So we always tell them, look you up and enjoy their time at the Mandalay Bay. Anything else you want to let the Husker fans know?
No, go Big Red. But other than that, we do appreciate all your listeners. They come out often, and they introduce themselves. It's nice to have people come up and introduce and say they've heard me on the show, and we try to take care of them as much as we can. And the best part about it is I can, even if it's packed and we don't have any seats, at least I can find you a seat if you're a Nebraska fan on a Sunday.
Last question, Dallas and the Giants. I'm not getting a good feeling about Dallas at all right now. The line was at 3.5. Has it moved? And your thoughts on the opening NFL game of the season?
Yeah, it's 3. We're trying to get some action on the Cowboys, given plus $1.05. And you know what? I think it's a big, big matchup. The Giants are at home. Cowboys tend to win games unless it's a playoff game.
we wouldn't know.
But you know, I like getting the points in any game. Giants always start off slow. Even when they win the Super Bowl, they're usually 50-50 before they go on their run. So Giants are not a good starting team. The Cowboys probably are a good starting team. They just can't finish. So, and plus the points. If I have to pick, I'll take plus the points anytime.
Well, thanks.
And if I can get 3.5, I really would.
Thanks for at least giving me a little optimism, Michael. So we're looking forward to it. We'll chat with you again soon. One more question.
Hey, Mike, I was going to say I really appreciate your place out there. When I go play horses, a lot of times, you know, I come in at the last minute, and, you know, I'm 4 or 5 deep, but you always have plenty of help. So anybody that does play horses, Mandalay Bay is the place to go. So I really appreciate that. You do a nice job there.
I appreciate that. We that's something we pride ourselves in, because horse race guys have to bet at the last minute and getting people in, and there's a lot of books in town where on a Sunday you can't even get a horse bet in. So not our books, MGM and Mandalay Bay. We really take care of the horse guys and the sports guys. You never have a problem.
Yeah, that is true. That's very true. The best place I go to.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
Take care. Mike Perenio joining me, Doug Duda, and Jim Langan on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. See the Bay, folks. It is the place to be. Well, you know, when you've got high school games starting tonight, you've got college games starting next week, you're always talking tailgating, and the number one spot for tailgating is Troutman's Quality Meats. No need to go into all that work, and then when you start eating, you go, what is this? Don't do that. Don't do it to yourself. Hot brats and chili cheese dogs are in the smokehouse right now. You get the steaks ready for the football games, whether you're tailgating or watching them at home. They are quality steaks, aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. They've got USDA Choice Certified Angus beef. You want to put together some burgers and brats, they're there for you. You can get everything you need. Throw a little seafood on there. They've got some scallops and a variety to choose from there that you can grill up. They've got the snack sticks. They've got the beans. They've got anything you you want at Troutman's Quality Meats. In fact, I just got another good group of tomatoes. Put a little Troutman's bacon on there. Finish out the BLT season. Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. We're back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Go look here. Have any home painting projects you want to tackle? Well, now at Lowe's, you can get $5 off 1 gallon and $20 off 5 gallon cans of Valspar and Olympic Paint and Primer in one via rebate. And while you're there, why not pick up two 20-pound bags of Kings for Charcoal for just $9.99, a saving of $7.99. Stop into Lowe's and take advantage of these and other great summer offers today. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through September 3rd while supplies last. See store for details.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. We all know how rewarding being a fan is when your team's winning. Other times, not so much. But now being a fan can be rewarding year-round thanks to StubHub Fan Rewards. StubHub Fan Rewards was created to give you a little something extra, like seat upgrades, unique fan experiences, and up to 3% in rewards for doing what you already do, buying tickets. No-brainer, right? So head to StubHub and sign up for StubHub Fan Rewards today. It's 100% free to join and 100% rewarding.
StubHub!
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky with a chance of some scattered showers and storms. Southeast winds at 10 to 20, highs in the low 80s. Tonight, a chance of storms, mostly cloudy, with our lows falling into the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Daddy's show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. May have to bump Travell with his training schedule. It just might not have worked out today, but we will have Travell DeLogdale on the program if he's not able to make it by the end of the show today. We'll have him next week. No problem. Travell's always been great with us to work with, and he's back a couple of days for the Wrestling Booster Club benefit. That is tonight and tomorrow. Doors open at 6, program at 7. Greg Warren, comedian, is outstanding. You want to have a little get-together, even if you're not big UNK, go to all their wrestling matches, just come out and see the comedian and help the program out. It's going to be worth it. It'll be another entertainment choice here in Kearney. And when you're coming to choices for your new or pre-owned vehicles, visit the Midway Auto Dealership at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They're named the best new and used car dealer by you, the customers, in the Reader's Choice Awards. You can stop in now, and in case you're not in the marketplace for a new car, you can also browse the pre-owned stock for great deals on used cars, trucks, and SUVs. The convenient used automobile dealerships are stocked with high-quality used vehicles. I see them driving around all the time. Midway is a better way for you. Like them on Facebook. Check them out online. As we tell you every time, thinkmidway.com has their entire inventory out there, plus service specials and what's going on at Midway. In and out in 30 minutes if you want to get an oil change without an appointment. Nobody else can do that for you. The Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. High school football tonight here on ESPN. Pius is at Kearney, 1230 KHAS. Hastings is at Seward on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Pleasanton is at Kennesaw, and on Classic Hits, 98.9 FM. Overton will host Stapleton McPherson County. And again, all of our broadcasts of high school events are online at Platte riverpreps.com. There are a couple of rule changes this year, Jimmy, that we may want to go over for fans that are going to be scratching their heads going, what are they doing? What are they doing out there? That's wrong. What are they doing? Radio guys do that too. But Jim Langan, veteran official, co-hosting with me today. What's a couple of those things that fans need to know about?
Well, there's sometimes I'm wondering, what am I doing too? With pass interferences, I had a play last night where they kicked a ball and it hit the AstroTurf and went up about 12 feet in the air. And the guy, the kicking team, runs down there and actually gets the ball first, but he didn't have a foot in bounds.
Oh.
Therefore, it's out of bounds, you know. I mean, that's the way I saw it, you know, but not everybody saw it that way. But, you know, this year there's a couple of rule changes, and you know, a lot of them have to do with the concussion that they're talking about. So the player, if their helmet would come off during a play and, you know, the play's over, and what happens if the runner, the ball carrier, if ever, this has always been a rule, if the ball carrier, and who has the ball, of course, his helmet comes off, you just blow your whistle because, you know, no one wants him to be hit without a helmet on. But other players can go on and continue with the play. But if your helmet comes off, you have to leave for a play. And, you know, no matter how it came off or anything, unless it was done by penalty, like if somebody pulled your face mask or something like that, then you could continue to play. But now you have to leave a play. And, you know, like I said, that's kind of an important rule. That's if that's on a third down and eight, and now all of a sudden it's third and six, and you're going to line up for a field goal, and your field goal kicker's helmet came off during that play, he can't go back and kick that field goal, or you can buy it with a timeout. So, you know, it could come in and be kind of a situation. But what they're trying to do is get coaches and trainers and everybody else and equipment managers to make the helmet fit. They're trying to get something that will fit. It's going to fit good, and you're going to get it so it stays on. Another rule on the onside kick, and the kicking team cannot go down there and make contact with the receiving team until the ball goes 10 yards. And the old way, what you did was you'd line up and you just run in there as hard as you could, you know, and make contact before that ball went. And then your second group would go in and kind of try to recover that. Now, that was one of the ways. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do an onside kick, but that's a new rule. And then in high school, unlike college and in the pros, of course, you have to have 2 feet in bounds. In college, you had to have one. Well, in high school, if the official felt like the player was going to go stay in bounds, but the defense carried him out, he could call that a complete pass. Now you cannot do that. Now it's more like the NCAA, the college rule on that, right?
But yeah, any receiver now has to come down. That's a so much easier call for the official.
Oh,
either
yes.
Either his foot's in bounds or it's not. So you're leaping in the air on the sidelines, and they push you out of bounds. Even if you catch the ball, it'll be incomplete. You got to get a foot down. So those are some things to watch for as this high school football season gets underway for A and B and some C and D schools tonight and for the rest of the state next week. And taking a look at some of those other games, Grand Island's got Northeast tonight. Also, Lexington, Scott's Bluff, Garing takes on Holdridge. Some of the non-class A and B games, Ansley Litchfield is hosting Burwell. Silver Lake is at Arcadia. Arapahoe is at Franklin tonight. We talked about the Pleasanton-Kennesaw game on the radio. Meridian takes on Lawrence Nelson. St. Paul and O'Neill. Gothenburg plays Ogallala. South Loop is hosting Anselmo Myrna. Sutton is at Tri-County, and Red Cloud is at Wilcox Hildreth. So that's what's going on with high school football around the state of Nebraska. The Husker volleyball team opens up tonight as well as they take on St. Louis. That gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow. This is as big as it gets. The Huskers take on the top-ranked and defending national champions from UCLA, 6 o'clock at the Coliseum. It's on the Big Ten Network, and it will also be on 1230 KHAS. Saturday's game with Notre Dame is in Omaha at the CenturyLink Center at 1:30, also on KHAS, 1230 a.m. That will be on Nebraska Educational Television. Hastings College Volleyball opens the season today at the Grandview Classic in Des Moines, Iowa. And there is also a little soccer. UNK goes over to Hastings for an exhibition game. UNK beat Concordia in an exhibition game last night. Johnny the Jet Rogers is at the State Fair. State Fair opens today, Jimmy. You go to the State Fair?
Yeah, I'll probably go tomorrow.
Oh, I love corn dogs. Are you going tomorrow just because it's at fun, or are you going tomorrow because it's the State Fair?
Oh, I'll do a lot of things, I'm sure.
I'll try to find a good parking spot.
What I'm going to try to find.
You find a way to do that, too. You've got some tips that we can't let people know about, I'll tell you that. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll do it and wrap things up right after this.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun.
Cops are out there cracking down on drunk driving all across the country, and they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Vámonos, muchachos! We ride!
Everyone knows how scary a flat tire can be. Imagine getting one at 100 miles an hour. Hi, I'm Sal Fish, CEO of the Score Baja 1000. Flat tires used to be a big problem for Baja racers, but with Slime Tire Sealant, flat tires are a thing of the past. Slime is the official tire sealant of the Baja 1000 because the bottom line is, if you get a flat, you lose. So listen, buy some Slime, put it in your tires, and don't get caught flat.
Find a Slime dealer at slime.com.
Guys, I looked in the mirror and I saw someone who was constantly tired and seriously out of shape. My best days suddenly fell behind me. I wasn't getting the same reactions from women I'd meet, and I wasn't reacting to them like I used to either. But I knew it wasn't too late to turn my negatives into positives. So I stopped into Complete Nutrition, where a consultant told me about the Charger Pack, a supplement kit created for guys 30 and up that increases testosterone levels, which helps attack fat, build lean muscle, and increase energy. With Charger Pack in my corner, I've leaned up and regained the strength and stamina I had in my 20s. I'm energized, I have my old confidence back, and I'm performing like I did years ago, like a champ. You can do the same. Stop into Complete Nutrition and recharge your life with Charger Pack.
Charger Pack is found only at Complete Nutrition, so get in today to take back your life.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Are you feeling the draft? Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and the draft is on. Our fantasy football draft night is Labor Day at 6:30. Bring your team and join the highest payout fantasy football league in town. 100% payback to players, plus we are adding a big cash bonus prize. Teams will receive exclusive discounts on drinks and food every week with a huge after-season party. Come on in September 3rd. The draft begins at 6:30. With NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, we'll have every NFL and college game at Husker Headquarters, HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Doug and Danny show, we found Tervell DeLognev, or he found us, even more. Love to have Tervell joining us here on the Doug and Danny show to wrap things up. He's been trying to relax a little bit since the London Games, and we're pleased to have him join us here on the Doug and Danny show once again. Jim Langan co-hosting with me today, and we'll just jump right into that, folks, with Tervell. And back from London, overall. I know we can just start and say, hey, it was kind of gold medal or bust, and it didn't happen. Overall, though, you had the opening ceremonies. You weren't even in London the whole time. You're still trying to train. You're still trying to get things done. You've had a little time to soak it in. What was the overall experience like?
Well, you know, it's still – I mean, it's tainted kind of by the result, but I think it's going to be one of those things that I look back on. It's going to be – you know, I mean, it's going to be really special, but, I mean, it's just tough – as an athlete, I mean, just especially how it happened, you know, I mean, all those guys I've beaten before, you know, the gold, silver medalists, I beat, you know, one of them I beat a month and a half ago. So, I mean, just kind of taints the experience a little bit, but I mean, it's, you know, you can't do anything, got to move on to the next one. But I mean, it was really neat. It was, you know, just a blessing to represent the country and, you know, represent, you know, all the communities that got behind it, and I know that a lot of people had a great time following it. So, I mean, you know, I could see the bigger picture, but it's still, you know, I mean, a week and a half out, it's still pretty, you know, the residue is still there.
It was folks around here are still trying to get their hands on how quick this moves along. It's all in one day. It's 45 minutes, you wrestle again, an hour, you wrestle again, and then it's not like you get to a night to recover and come back for the bronze medal match. I mean, it was obvious watching on the internet what the toll had taken on you. Not to delve into it too much, from your perspective, what happened in the semifinal match when you got beat?
I just made a mistake. I knew that, you know, that was really the only thing that I couldn't have happened. I mean, he's, you know, he's a big, strong guy. You know, obviously, he's a two-time Olympic champ. And I just knew that if I wrestled all the minutes, I would beat him. I just needed, I mean, not that I was thinking he could pin me, but I just, I needed to wrestle all the minutes. I needed to get him tired. You know, the guy's 33. I needed to go out and make him wrestle. And just kind of got in a position, hesitated for a second, and, you know, he kind of locked up a cradle. I kind of got, you know, I mean, my shoulders, you know, I mean, people say my shoulders weren't down, my shoulders, but I mean, 80% of the time that call goes the way it did. So, I mean, you know, it's the nature of the beast, and so just kind of made a mistake. Just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bad day to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it kind of stinks, but gotta learn from it.
Well, we were talking about this on the show after it happened. That's what makes the Olympics so great, and it's what makes the Olympics so bittersweet, because it's another 4 years. But when the goal is accomplished, it also makes it that much more sweeter. You, Coach Bauer says that you've already made the decision that you want to try and go to Rio.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had it in my head that I wasn't. I mean, I still feel like I haven't peaked. I'm still getting better. And so, you know, my body of work shows it. I mean, it's, you know, frustrating end result for the season, but I mean, my body of work is showing that I'm definitely getting better, and I still have a lot more to learn, a lot more to go. But the, I mean, I just didn't want to, you know, I just didn't want to talk about Rio until London was over. You know, I mean, everyone was like, you're going to go another four, and I just didn't want to have any excuses. I didn't want to be like, oh, I'll just do it next time. You know, so, I mean, London was kind of, I didn't do much planning past London, but yeah, I definitely want to, you know, try to go to Rio and, you know, Lord willing, in a couple of years, have another shot at this. But, I mean, there's three world championships in between there that I'd also like to win. So, yeah, the long-term goal is Rio. But right now we're training for Budapest, Hungary next year. So,
some of the places, wrestling, that's what makes the sport, one of the things that makes the sport so great. Tervell DeLognev joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He is back for the wrestling benefit for UNK, where things are still going well there, and we'll talk about that in just a second here. But Tervell, between when we talked to you after you had clinched the Olympic spot and then August 11th when you wrestled in London, tell us about the experience getting over there, going through the opening ceremonies and all the other cool stuff that went on before you hit the mat and the atmosphere and things like that.
Yeah, the atmosphere was amazing. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little different representing, you know, your country than a school, you know. I mean, there's just a little more electricity in the air, and it's a little different when you do it at the Olympics, you know. I mean, it felt, because I had never seen a person from Kazakhstan that's not a wrestler. I have never seen a person from Cuba that's not a wrestler. You know, it's like all these people that you see their warm-ups, it's like, I mean, I just kind of equate that country with wrestling because that's the only time I see that person. But it's, like, cool to see all the other sports, and it kind of, there's an electricity in the air where it's like, I mean, it's, you know, nation versus nation. And the Olympic Village is really cool. It was a little hectic. I mean, it's like, you know, people get done. It's like a 24-hour party. So it's like outside your window, you're trying to sleep. We're the last event. Everyone's getting done. They're just like partying outside. But really cool. I mean, cafeteria, 24 hours, huge, like a Walmart. You walk in the cafeteria, it's like has, I mean, 15 different stations, you know, plus McDonald's and everything. You know, I mean, it's like everywhere from every corner of the world food. So it's kind of overwhelming, but it's really cool just being in that atmosphere. And again, opening ceremonies, walking in was sweet. I actually walked in with like a couple NBA players, so I felt like kind of dwarfed. I was like, Kevin Durant was like, his camera was like above my head, like taking pictures. I was like, what's going on? But yeah, so it was really cool just to hang out and kind of see how the other sports approach it, preparation, just attitude, and it was a cool experience.
Now, if I understood right, after the ceremonies, you guys didn't stay in London the whole time, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but talk about what you did, and did you get to go to any other events, and did you get to meet? Did any of them come to the wrestling? Did you get to meet any of the other athletes, whatever the sport?
Well, yeah, so we did the opening ceremonies. Then we went to Belarus for a week and kind of got away from it, which actually ended up being pretty good. I mean, it was like, it kind of turned it back into a turn. You know, like when you're sitting in the village, everything's going on, all these people are winning medals, you're kind of like, whoa, you know. But you kind of get away from it. You know, it's still another wrestling tournament, and you got to perform just the same. So it was good for our training, but... as far as, I mean, the most, we kind of got herded into like a kind of like a holding area for opening ceremonies, and that's kind of when you get to take pictures with everybody, meet people. And so Team USA got to meet a lot of NBA players, a lot of the track people there. And then we actually, the only event we got to watch live was we watched table tennis, which was intense. but the cool thing was in our TVs in the village had closed circuit, you can change your TV to closed circuit, and they had three cameras in every single venue going on 24/7. So whenever there was something happening, you know, there was no announcers, nothing like that. It was just kind of like white noise, but you could watch everything live as it's happening, every single event in the whole game. So that was like, so I got to see anything I wanted. So it was really cool.
Now you're back. We had Coach Bauer in a couple of days ago to tell us about the event. You're going to be donating one of your Olympic singlets to help raise money for UNK, which I know continues to be near and dear to your heart. And it's kind of been a two-way street. The community trying to help you in your endeavor, and you're trying to help the community and the wrestling program. And one of your buddies is coming in, comedian Greg Warren. Talk about what's going on the next two nights.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool event. They're going to kind of celebrate the national title. You know, I'm going to kind of take people through kind of my journey I know there's a lot of people following, a lot of people. So I just kind of take them through, you know, what we're doing, just kind of tell them how the experience was through my eyes. And then Greg Warren's going to cap off each night with a hilarious routine. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't miss it. If you can make it, I would definitely do it. It's going to be a good time.
Does he have a Tervell impersonation?
Not yet. He might develop one for this, but we'll see.
So go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Tervell, I was going to ask you. I kind of read a little bit about you, and you said when you were like 15 or 16, you hadn't ever wrestled before. You decided to go out. You were in Texas. Mm-hmm. It was your sophomore year. You were going to try to lose some weight. You know what I mean? That's what you did it for. Kind of talk a little bit about that time, and then kind of what transpired there.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was something that, you know, I had made a decision that I wanted to kind of like start living a healthy lifestyle. You know, I was kind of a couch potato. Always liked like outdoor activities, but just never really had a consistent basis of, you know, like exercise. So I kind of saw the wrestlers, and, you know, they were doing hard workouts. So I kind of expressed interest in that. And, you know, that first year, it was like I didn't really love the sport. I just kind of loved what the sport could do for me. But, I mean, yeah, once I kind of got thrown into it, I just kind of fell in love with, got real passionate about it. And so, I mean, it's been trying to climb that mountain ever since.
You know, when you were in high school, if I read this right, you finished like third and fourth in the state wrestling tournament. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, you know, you're disappointed you didn't win a gold medal, you know, in the Olympic Games. You know, but, I mean, what I look at is what you've done in 10 years. You know, I mean, are you 25, 26 now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at that. I mean, you know, and look, go back 10 years and see what you've accomplished in this sport. And that's pretty remarkable to me.
Yeah, does that amaze you a little bit?
I mean, it's kind of, you live with yourself every day. So you kind of, I mean, your story is your story. So, I mean, I've kind of gotten used to it, you know. But it just, I know wrestling is one of those kind of cutthroat sports. You know, it's like, you just, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, that's, you know. If I heard my story on someone else, it might impress me. But, you know, I'm no longer impressed by myself. I need, you know, I want more out of myself. I have an expectation. You know, I hold myself to a standard that, you know, I want to try to achieve, and I want to be the best in the world. So, yeah, I mean, it's you know, it is what it is. I just I want more, right?
Well, yeah, so. There's still a goal.
You also, I read something about you. Your chiropractor told you couldn't be doing some things. You know, you'd be like practicing, just like right in your living room, and you just do some kind of a move, and all of a sudden, it was like something that could actually really hurt you bad, and you're all by yourself. And he said not to do that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, I mean, over the years, I've kind of struggled with a little OCD, and it's gotten a lot better through prayer and stuff. But there's definitely stuff that, you know, I just kind of compulsions. You know, I mean, obviously the obsession is perfection, and then the compulsions come out, and however they come out. But yeah, I mean. Just over the years, just kind of learning to be wise about that. And, you know, some of the stuff that I might think is helping me is actually hurting me. So just kind of getting mature, you know. So it's been quite the road, but it's, you know, it's getting better every day.
Good deal.
Did you get to bring home some pretty good gear?
It's crazy. If there's any 2Xs out there that want some Olympic stuff, it's crazy. I mean, it was like probably $20,000-$25,000 worth of gear. It was, I mean, they rolled out, you know.
Did you bring him with you? I mean, if you got in the car, we can go out.
It's crazy. It's like, I mean, they brought out just, I mean, a trailer of Nike stuff and a trailer of Ralph Lauren stuff, and they're like, try it on. If you need other sizes, you know, I mean, I got my opening and closing ceremony stuff. Got watches, Oakleys, got a ring, got 500, I got like eight $500 jackets. It's It's crazy. It's a cool idea, but at the end of the day, it's like, wow. I mean, what am I gonna do with all this? Like,
they deserve a perk. Yeah. They deserve a perk.
Yeah.
Hey, you're really close to your sister, and she teaches physics in Texas, uh-huh. and then your mom too, and your wife, of course. Now, did everybody get to go to London with you?
Yeah, everyone. I mean, I probably had about 25 people go. Obviously, Coach Bauer and his wife, my whole wife's side of the family, her parents and all her siblings, came. Girlfriends and everything, and then my mom, my sister's boyfriend, and then a bunch of friends from, our church and just our friends from Columbus, friends from here. Jeff Rutledge and Keenan McCurdy actually surprised. I didn't think they were going. Cool. They kind of popped up the day before, so it was cool. It was a lot of people there, a lot of support, a ton of U.S. I mean, the crowd kind of felt like it was U.S. and Iran. That was like, I feel like that was the, I would say. About a third of the stadium was U.S., a third was Iran, and a third was everybody else. So it was pretty crazy.
Well, I know you need to get going because you got another appointment, and we're going to see you the next couple of nights at the World Theater. Anything else that you want to let the fans know about? What's directly after, when you get back to wrestling, what is next, I guess?
I haven't really looked through my competition schedule, but, just going to kind of ease back into it. I kind of banged up my rib while I was over there, so just not too much in a hurry, but, kind of getting excited to get back on the mat, so just kind of take it easy, but just go back to Ohio State, start training again, start maybe we'll go over my video, start refining. But I just want to tell the community how much I appreciate everything they do. I know that, I'm kind of in a tough place because it's like I don't want to celebrate what I did because it wasn't what I wanted. So for me, it doesn't, I don't feel like it deserves celebration. But I know the community, was backing me 100%. I don't want to shortchange, how much I appreciate all their backing. So it's just it's a little bitter in my mind, but I definitely appreciate everything. Everyone's, all the comments, all the encouragement. And, I haven't lost sight of any big picture by any means. I just, it's going to take a little time for this thing to get off of it. But, I'm definitely appreciative of, the Kearney community and everyone else.
Trevel Delagnev with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Come out tonight or tomorrow or both. It's going to be a great time at the World Theater. The doors open at 6 and the program begins at 7. Not only for UNK Wrestling, but for Trevel DeLagnev. Come out, see him, maybe get an autograph or a picture, and we'll see you over there tomorrow night, Trevel.
All right, see you guys. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for the Doug and Daddy Show. We want to say thanks to Trevel DeLagnev for coming into the program today. We want to say thanks to Brad Wegner, the Kearney Little Leaguers, back in town after 23 days. And we want to thank Mike Perenio from Mandalay Bay. Don't forget, you can always vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who voted for Buffalo yesterday? Who's going to win the AFC East? They said if anybody votes besides New England, smack them. Evidently, Merritt didn't get on and vote for Miami, but 85% voted for New England. This weekend, who's going to win the AFC West? Denver, KC, Oakland, San Diego. Got a guess, Jimmy? We get a lot of Denver and KC fans. Perenio says Oakland's got a chance. I'm hearing bad things about San Diego, but Until somebody goes out and slaps him around, maybe it's going to be the Chargers' year and nobody's paying attention to him.
Yeah, maybe so. I kind of like San Diego myself. I think Denver's going to – I think they got a new quarterback, didn't they, this year?
I heard. I don't know. Apparently there's no quarterback race in Denver.
So I'm sure that if you're talking about a price, San Diego might be a good one.
Folks, don't forget that Monday we will be in Lincoln bringing you the Husker press conference. We'll hear from Bo Pelini live. We'll have some special guests. We're anticipating – and again, this is always kind of a coin flip deal, but the guys in Lincoln believe that we'll be able to talk to a couple of the local boys and Brett Maher and Andrew Rodriguez. Again, a lot of local boys are freshmen or haven't played, and so they're inaccessible. The coaching staff doesn't let the guys that haven't played in the varsity competition speak to the media yet. So we'll talk to them. We'll hear from the coach. We'll have some special guests. Might get a chance to talk to Coach John Cook of the volleyball team if he has time as well. So that's Monday. Next Wednesday, our first Husker lunch is at the Plottage in Grand Island. Contact Home Federal Bank for your reservations. 12 noon. We'll be doing the show from 11 to noon, and then Sean Callahan will be speaking at noon next Wednesday in Grand Island. So we've got a whole bunch of things going on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, enjoy your weekend, man. Have fun at the State Fair and everything else you're doing.
All right. Thank you. You too, Doug.
Kearney High Football is where I'll be tonight. We'll talk to you then from Foster Field here in Kearney. And don't forget, every Friday after football on 98.9 FM, it's the Friday Night Scoreboard Show. All the scores, all the recaps of the games that we covered, and a few coaching interviews. Catch up with Bob Jensen as well. We're in way over time, but we sure want to thank Travell DeLogne for slipping in today, and to Brad Wagner, Kearney Little League coach, and Mike Perenio for joining us as well from the Mandalay Bay. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.